All right, now, welcome to the very first episode of the Golden State Media Concepts Women's Mixed Martial Arts Podcast. I'm your host, Tate, and this is a pretty exciting situation, having this being our first episode with just featuring the women of the mixed martial arts world. When I first came up with this concept of having a show just featuring the women, I ran it past a few of my colleagues, because I came up with the concept because many a times I've watched an MMA event, whether it's 1FC or One Championship now, or the UFC, or some organization. And a lot of times, the women may not be the headliner a lot of times, but many of times, the women have stole the card. The best fight on the card wasn't the men, it was the women. But, you know, when you go through and you watch a lot of, you know, you listen to a lot of podcasts and you read a lot of MMA media, and you go on YouTube and you watch all the different shows and you tune in to ESPN, rarely ever, unless your name is Ronda Rousey or Chris Cyborg, maybe Misha Tate, Holly Holm, the women are never brought up. And I've always, that's kind of bugged me for a little while, because time after time, I'll watch a fight and just love the women's fighters, and I just don't think a lot of times they get their due. I don't think their fights get covered enough. And so a lot of the fighters, there's fighters on the UFC roster and an Invicta roster, or the One Championship roster, that people have no clue who they are. You know, I watched Julia Budd win the featherweight title and Bellator, and I was talking to a group of guys who are avid mixed martial arts fans, and they had no clue who she was. You know, you watch, if like I said, if your name isn't Ronda Rousey, a lot of times they don't know. I've had conversations with guys, and they had no clue who Chris Cyborg was or who Gina Carano was. And these are guys who are huge MMA fans. And I just wanted to do something where there was a show, at least one show out there, that recognized women's MMA and gave it its total due, which is to cover them thoroughly and fairly. I'm not making it like I'm some advocate or anything like that. I don't mean it that way. I just think that if I can do my small part in helping educate other MMA fans on who are the big stars or who are the up and coming stars of the women's mixed martial arts world, you know, I'm doing my part. Now, a little bit of background on me. I've been an MMA fan and a boxing fan my whole life. I started out, first off, I used to compete in martial arts, as far as nothing major, like point karate tournaments, judo tournaments, things like that. Used to box and compete in a lot of different, more amateur boxing. But I was always a huge boxing fan, and I didn't start out as a women's boxing fan or a women's combat fan in general. But I started out watching, I mean, I watched a lot of boxing for years. I'd fly to Vegas and watch a lot of the fights. And there was a point in time when I was watching a fight and Christy Martley came on, and she was just amazing. And I became a big Christy Martley fan. And then later on, I became, you know, a Mia St. John's fan. And then a Lucille Riker fan. And then eventually even Holly Holm, as she became a big name in women's boxing. So, and then that just transitioned into, you know, my being a fan of the UFC and seeing the rise of women in the mixed martial arts world. And so I think it's a time that we can actually come about and do a show that can just cover the women and give them their fair coverage. One of the things that I found funny when I was putting this together and I was, you know, polling people and bringing people in to talk about this particular show, you know, a lot of guys weren't really that keen on, like, ah, man, I wouldn't watch a show just women. You know, there's only a few women that's really worth following, and that's not true. There's some amazing women fighters out there. And I'm not just talking about the UFC women. Bellator comes up with an amazing event every single time they come out. If you watch ONE Championship and you watch Angela Lee, that's one of my favorite fighters, or, you know, just in general, then it's kind of funny because as I'm putting this together, and then it was finally proved that we're going to actually roll out a women's MMA show, then we outsourced a lot of times some of our production. And so we gave our production people the information about the show and what it's going to be about. And then I heard the first promo that was cut for it, and it was just a joke. It was one of those situations where when the promo was cut, the guy that does our show, we decided to use a different person originally and then the person that we normally use to cut our promos for our podcast, which why I don't know, but we decided to do that. And the guy came out with, learn who is the darlings of the MMA world. Learn who's the babe of mixed martial arts. And I was like, what? Who in their right mind would think about MMA and say, you know, if you're covering a show seriously, the darlings of mixed martial arts or the babes of mixed martial arts? I truly thought that was insulting. So we decided to go back, and we ended up using the person that we normally use for all of our shows, and he ended up cutting a really nice promo, which is what you just heard at the beginning of the show. But it just kind of made me think, like, you know, that's exactly why I want to do a show just dedicated to women's mixed martial arts. And yes, I'm a guy, and I, you know, a lot of times you think about, and this was brought up, why not have a woman do the show? Well, you know, I just decided this is just something I wanted to do. I'm a big fan of the sport, and so I wanted to do this. You know, I may not have the opinion for everyone. Maybe someone will enjoy the show. Maybe you guys will hate it. But it's just something that I thought would be fun to do. So, like I said, some of my favorite fighters in the world are all female fighters. And I'm going to have fun doing it. Hopefully you guys will enjoy it. And at the same time, we can maybe educate some people. And the game plan is to bring a lot of these stars that you may not have heard of or may not be mainstream fighters, but, you know, mainstream meaning big media mainstream, but maybe shine a little light on them. So that's our game plan. Hope I didn't get too long-winded on just kind of more of the intro. But when we come back, we're going to talk about a few different things today. We're going to talk about how this year, the beginning, the first few months of the year in women's mixed martial arts, it was pretty much, you know, the featherweight division became the focal point of the start of the year. So we're going to talk about the featherweight division. We're going to talk about a couple other fights, and then we're going to talk about WMMA and things that are going on in the news. Stay tuned, and we'll be back.
check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
All right, thank you for sticking around with me. I hope I didn't get on too much of my high horse at that my first intro there. Okay, so today we're going to talk about how the beginning of the year, and this is kind of a recap. Most of you guys that are listening to this are probably going to be big-time MMA fans, so most of you guys are actually very aware of how the beginning of the year has become a big thing about the featherweight division. And what started this all off was the fact that there was a lot of talk about Chris Cyborg not being able to make bantamweight and make the weight, and even get making 140 was really tough for her. And it was, you know, and I've been saying this for a long time that they should create a featherweight division for Chris Cyborg, who has been the most dominant champion or dominant fighter maybe in the history of women's mixed martial arts or mixed martial arts in general. And then so when the UFC finally decided that they were going to start considering doing a featherweight division, and it came out right before they made that decision that Cyborg had a positive PED test or it didn't come back, and that kind of really there was a little bit of a firestorm there, where everyone decided to bring their pitchforks out to finally go after Cyborg, that they knew she was on steroids this whole time, or they knew she was doing this or she was doing that, and so the UFC had already decided to come out with a featherweight division. So while Cyborg was handling her USADA issues, the UFC came out with their inaugural featherweight division was going to fight. The two people that were going to fight for that inaugural UFC featherweight title was going to be Jermaine Duranemi versus Holly Holm. And I actually was very surprised that they decided to go with those two fighters, considering both of them had been fighting in the bantamweight division. But, you know, that's who the UFC had decided on. And so that fight happened, and I'm just giving you my take on that fight. First off, a lot of people said it was very controversial because there was a number of shots that happened after the bell. I truly did not think Jermaine was actually trying to do that intentional. They were accidents. I do think that the second shot that she landed did affect the fight. In the end, it was a very, very close fight. But I had scored Jermaine the winner, but it was a very close fight. And, you know, the whole concept of having her, Jermaine Duranemi as the first UFC featherweight champion, there's some people that wasn't happy about that. But if you look at Jermaine Duranemi as a whole, she's been one of the most decorated fighters in combat sports over the last 10 years. There's very few people that can say they have a better resume than Jermaine Duranemi. So I thought she was a great, you know, pick for the first UFC featherweight champion. And I would have been happy if Holly would have won it as well. But ultimately, you know, a lot of people kept talking about, you know, is Jermaine really the true champion? Does Holly deserve a rematch? And then out of everything, with all the stuff that's going on with Cyborg, but then Cyborg was actually cleared and given an exemption by USADA, and now Cyborg is back. And, you know, in that meantime, you know, when you're looking at the featherweight division, it looks like everyone decided to come out with, you know, a featherweight division at that time. It was overdue, but then Invicta decided, since Cyborg had been fighting in the UFC for so long, that they were going to have them a interim championship fight, which they had one of my absolute favorite fighters, which was Megan Anderson, fight Charmaine Tweet. And I tell you what, Megan Anderson did not disappoint at all. Megan Anderson came in, she took care of business, and she finished Charmaine Tweet off in the second round. Charmaine did the best she could, but Megan Anderson is a young, powerful force in that division. I would have been really happy to see if they would have brought her, UFC would have brought her in. It's just a matter of time before the UFC will have to bring Megan Anderson in. You look around, and also at that time, you have Julia Budd, who fought Gabrielle Holloway for the inaugural Bellator women's featherweight title at Bellator 133. And this is another person that a lot of people may not know who she is, but she has been a terror in that division for a long time and quite an impressive fighter. And I was very pleased that Bellator decided to put her in to fight for that initial women's featherweight division, because I think she's a great person to represent their title. So now when you look at things and you say Bellator has their champion in Julia Budd, Invicta actually may have the two best featherweights in the world, which is Megan Anderson and Chris Cyborg. And then you also, Cyborg also fights in the UFC. And then you have Jermaine Duranemi and Holly Holm. And then, of course, in my opinion, the king of the mountain or the queen of the mountain, which is Chris Cyborg. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens over the next few months. Will they actually, because they're going to, it looks like with everything that's going on, they're going to have Holly's not going to get an immediate rematch with Jermaine Duranemi. It looks like they're already setting up for that Duranemi versus Chris Cyborg. And I would love to see a situation where the UFC brings in Megan Anderson to fight the winner of Duranemi versus Cyborg. Just more or less going through and just looking at that division. When you start thinking about who can be in that division, you cannot have a featherweight division in the UFC without including Megan Anderson. So I would like to see her get into the mix. I would like to see her get into the title mix right away. It looks like one way or another, Megan Anderson and Chris Cyborg are going to square off. And that's the featherweight fight I want to see the most. So wanted to touch on that a little bit and my take of, you know, how things are going, who I think is going to come out of this. And I haven't given you that yet. The person that, when all the smoke clears, it depends. To me, it's hard to bet against Chris Cyborg. As much as I like Jermaine Duranemi, I just don't think she matches up well with Cyborg. The only person that I truly look at that I think could give Cyborg a competitive fight, I think it's Megan Anderson. Megan Anderson is big. She's strong. The only thing that Megan Anderson is missing is she needs time. I worry. I think that Megan Anderson needs at least a couple more fights before she fights Cyborg, but I don't think that's going to happen. But I'm looking forward to seeing that fight. But when it all clears, I think the queen of the featherweight division will be Cyborg, with Megan Anderson being in the second seat. So that's just my take. I'd love to hear what you guys have to say about that. You guys can hit us up on Twitter. Just look us up at GSMC Women's MMA Podcast on Twitter, and go ahead and give me your take on that one. I also wanted to talk about a couple other people that were, this is non-featherweight division, that I wanted to talk about, and that is, when you go back, and on March 11th, ONE Championship actually had ONE Championship 53 Warrior Kingdom. And when we talk about like Megan Anderson being one of the up-and-coming stars, the other up-and-coming star that I'm looking forward to, and that one of these days I'm hoping that she'll get to the UFC, is Angela Lee. I look at Angela Lee as, she's 19 years old. Her skills are just amazing. And she defended her atom weight title on ONE Championship 53. And a lot of people that have seen Angela Lee, a lot of times they look at her and they say, she's just a grappler. Well, I think Angela has changed a few minds after this fight, because she showed her stand-up game, and it was impressive. She's small, but she has skills on the stand-up game. Her ground game is well-polished, way beyond her years. And she is definitely developing a very, very strong stand-up game as well. So she had an impressive title defense, in which she defeated Jenny Hung. And you know, one of the things that I was surprised about is the fact that right after this fight, she's already looking at fighting as early as June. So she's actually planning on getting in a few fights for 2017. So guys, keep a lookout for Angela Lee, because she is someone that you cannot miss. She is a fighter that at 19, she's one of the best in the world right now. Other fights that has recently come up that I thought were just definitely worth seeing was that UFC Fight Night Vitor Belfort versus Gaslam, where Beth Correa and Marion Renault, they went at it. They truly went at it. And, I mean, I was so impressed by this fight. This fight, it was too close to call. The fight ended in a majority draw. When I went through, I scored it for Marion Renault, but I wasn't upset that the fight ended up in a majority draw. Then this past weekend, UFC Fight Night in London, Manawa versus Anderson. There was another fight on the card, which was Linda Landsberg versus Lucy. I can never pronounce her name. I apologize, but Linda and Lucy, actually, they really went at it. These two ladies, there wasn't a dull moment in this fight from start to finish. It's Putilova is her name. Lucy Putilova is her name. I had to take a second to get her name down. But these two ladies really went at it. Linda Landsberg really took some punishment. Her face was really, really busted up at the end of the fight. And I thought Lucy really kind of poured on and came out and finished really strong in that third round. And I actually had her winning. I thought when they were saying it was going to be a unanimous decision, I actually thought Lucy was going to win, but they gave it to Linda Landsberg, and I was a little surprised by that. But these were two people that really put on a spectacular show. If you've missed either one of these fights, they are definitely worth going back and taking a look at, because you know, that's talk about nonstop action on both of these cards. They might not have stole the show, but they definitely added and increased the value of this card, of both of these cards. So if you didn't get a chance, I highly recommend those. When we come back, we are going to cover some in the news events that has come up over the last couple of weeks. So it's just a segment that we're going to cover called In the News. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be, visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Okay, we're back from break, and with me today is Sarah.
Hi.
How you doing, Sarah?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
Excellent. Sarah's going to be taking part in our today's in the news segment, in which she's going to give me a current event as far as women's MMA goes, and I'm going to give you my take.
Yes. So there's lots going on in women's MMA right now. Lots of fights coming up, lots of people talking about who they want to fight and those sorts of things. The first person I want to bring up is Joanna Jędrzejczyk, and she is set to fight Jessica
Andrade.
Thank you. I can never pronounce that. I look at the word and I can never remember how to pronounce it. Jessica Andrade. But she was talking about, on a recent episode of the MMA Hour, she was talking about that if she beats Andrade, she expects that the next person that she'll fight will be the karate hottie, Michelle Waterson. And she said that for this to happen, that Michelle Waterson has to beat Rose Namajunas. So what do you think about that whole situation? Do you foresee both of those things happening for a Jędrzejczyk Waterson fight?
I actually, and I'm going to start off by saying I'm a huge, huge fan of both of the ladies, Rose Namajunas and Michelle Waterson. And I'm really looking forward to this fight that is going to be coming up between them. I remember seeing something about this where she was saying that Joanna was saying, that she didn't really have nice things to say about Rose. And I understood where that came from, where she was just more or less saying that Rose had everything set in place to actually contend for the title, but she ended up losing. And now Rose is coming out saying that she knows how to beat Joanna. And Joanna's pretty much saying, listen, you need to take care of business before you start talking about wanting to fight me. You had a shot. All you needed to do was win, and you were going to get a title shot. And so that's kind of why Rose was saying, I mean, but that's why Joanna was kind of saying that, you know, Rose, you know, she really doesn't have a say, or she blew her shot. Now, when you look at what she was saying, she says she's had a lot of respect for both of them. But I agree with Joanna when I look at this fight between Rose and Michelle Waterson. Michelle Waterson is a very well-rounded fighter. And as tough as Rose is, and Rose is tough, I'm actually leaning toward Michelle Waterson winning that fight. I'm also expecting Joanna to win against Andrade. And I do see a Michelle Waterson, Joanna Jędrzejczyk title fight coming up. And I think that would be maybe one of the more tougher fights for Joanna. And strictly the reason why I look at this as one of the toughest fights for Rose, I mean for, not for Rose, but for Joanna, is Michelle Waterson is no one has ever been able to stand up and go strike for strike with Joanna Jędrzejczyk. This is Michelle Waterson's that first person that I think I'm very curious to see how Joanna handles someone that has just as much skills when standing up as she does. Claudia Gazelia, who is the person I think is her toughest competitor, they're different. Claudia doesn't have that stand-up game, where Claudia's game is on the ground. So this will be the first time that I actually look at someone that has equal striking skills. So I would love to see this fight. Hopefully it happens. But even if it, let's say Rose wins, I would love to see a Joanna Rose fight as well. I just think that even though Rose is tough, I just don't think she's ready for Joanna. That's a different level. And I think there's very few people in the world that can stand with Joanna Jędrzejczyk.
Okay.
What's your thoughts? You're looking like, I don't know. So, all right, what's the next one?
So the next one is Misha Tate. I know that she's one of your, that you really like her as a fighter.
Well, she's my cousin from 20th time removed.
Right. Same last name. So, but she did announce her retirement. But recently she said the only way she would consider coming out of retirement was if she could fight Ronda Rousey. So do you want to speak to that first? And then there's another part to the story.
I think the UFC should run, not walk, schedule that fight as soon as possible. The one fighter that I think you could get Ronda up for is Misha Tate. It's been well documented that Misha and Ronda does not like each other. Ronda has, as everyone has been well documented, has had two really rough skids between Holly Holm and then the Amanda Nunes fight. I think a Misha Tate fight would be the perfect fight to entice Ronda to come back and fight. It also brings back both of you, the two stars that you're about to lose is Ronda Rousey. Will she come back? No one knows. And Misha Tate, who says she's done. Well, you can actually polish up two stones and bring them both back by putting them both in the ring. And I think Ronda would go for it, be the perfect matchup. It's not like someone, Ronda's weakness has been shown that she's not good at, you know, handling high-level strikers. Well, Misha Tate is that person that's tailor-made for her. Misha Tate's the tough, grinded-out wrestler who wants to grab you and take you to the ground. Well, that's perfect for Ronda and her judo skills. it would be a fight that I think Ronda would be up for. It'd be a way to get Ronda confidence back. I think Ronda, with the fact that Ronda's already beat her twice, Ronda has a confidence issue, a major confidence issue. Well, one of the best ways to kind of build that confidence back up, put her in a ring with her arch rival and also someone that she's beaten twice. Perfect fight. I hope they can pull this off.
I agree. I think they're both great fighters. I like watching both of them and watching the two fights that they've done so far. Those were great fights and
yes,
really
agree.
Good to watch. So,
yeah, I'm always up for watching. Those are two of my favorite fighters, and you'll hear me say my favorite fighters a lot. But there's quite a few women fighters, that I'm just big fans of, and those are two of them.
And I think that the UFC really benefits from both of them. So if you could get both of them back, you know, in...
Well, the new UFC ownership, the one thing they're about is making money. This fight would make money. It
Absolutely.
Would make huge money.
Absolutely. So then the other part of this was she said she would come out of retirement to fight Ronda Rousey, but she also said that she is interested in and willing to be on WWE. Now, Ronda Rousey did do that, and now Misha Tate is saying that that's something that she would be interested in and is appearing on WWE. So what do you think about that?
I love it. First off, any avenue that these guys can make more money, get more notoriety, I think... I'm all for it. Misha Tate has that name. She has that look that would work really well. She has instant credibility for being an MMA fighter, very tough. And there has been a history of MMA fighters who have done extremely well in the wrestling world. I mean, everyone talks about Brock Lesnar, and everyone knows what a big star, a big WWE star he is, but... From Ken Shamrock to Don Fry, these guys have been huge success in the WWE and the WWF. So I think that would be a perfect fit for her. And that would be, I think personally, a great place for her to, you know, stay active. But if she really wants to be done with MMA, that's one of the best landing spots you can get.
Okay, so you know more about WWE than I do. I watch it a little bit. But so tell me how that works when you just go on once or twice. Because I know there are storylines, right?
Right.
So if somebody just comes on, do they just create a storyline for that event? Or how does that work?
Well, that's Vince McMahon's expertise. But most times what they will do is, I would bring... Depending on how they want to promote her, if they're going to just bring her on for one show, it would be most likely like a SummerSlam or a WrestleMania, where they would probably bring her in, you know, a month or so beforehand, kind of to build the name up. But with Ronda, there was no notice that Ronda was going to be in WrestleMania. It was just Rock was going down the ring. Ronda Rousey's at the ringside. He gives her the signal. She jumps over the rope, and she's in the ring. You know, so, you know, that's the great thing about wrestling. You create whatever storyline you want. And, you know, I think Misha would be amazing at it. So I say go Misha.
Okay. Thank you.
Excellent.
Next topic is another one of, well, my favorite fighters, and I know you like her as well, Holly Holm.
All right.
So she is scheduled to return UFC Fight Night 111, and that's in Singapore. And she is fighting undefeated Korean fighter Ji-Yeon Kim, and that's June 17th. So what do you think about that fight?
Now, I don't know if it's been – I don't think it's been officially – announced. I know they're targeting that as an event. Is that correct?
I did say scheduled. I apologize. I think it's
I was just talked about.
Yeah.
I was trying to make sure that it didn't slip by, and I didn't want to give false information.
I apologize.
Well, actually, I got excited for it. I'm like, wow.
No, I don't have any inside information that you don't have.
Okay. First off, the first thing this tells me when I saw this is this. That means that the whole concept of Holly Holm getting a rematch with Jermaine Duranemi is now off the table. She is not going to get a rematch and another shot at that featherweight title. I think if this fight is not even talked about, if Chris Cyborg did not get her exemption, I don't think this fight is even talked about or as a possibility. So, but it does tell me that Cyborg's back. Cyborg and Jermaine Duranemi is the next fight. I would have liked to have seen Holly Holm versus Megan Anderson, even though Megan's not technically in the UFC. I keep campaigning for Megan Anderson to be in the UFC. But this is an interesting fight. I think it's a perfect, it's a great fight because of two things. Number one, you have Holly Holm, which is a big draw. But Holly is coming off of a loss to Miesha Tate. You know, she's had three losses in a row. I understand why the UFC cannot put her in and fight for the title when someone's lost three in a row. Whether the Duranemi fight was close or not, when it comes down to it, she didn't win. And so I think it's a good opportunity to put Holly in against someone who I think she can beat. Now, Kim Ju Yen, I said the name wrong. Give me the name again.
It says Ji Yeon Kim, and I know that there's different ways of doing first and last names, so I'm just reading it how it's spelled out here, so I apologize that I'm not sure if it's the other way around.
Now, I've seen her, you know, I just kind of looked her up, and then I went online and I tried to find a couple of her fights, and she's a tough lady. It's a situation where it's a big name fight. It's a big name fight by having Holly Holm in it, but it also gives you a chance to bring in a superstar, not necessarily a superstar, but an up and coming star, and bring her into the mix in the women's bantamweight world. She's out of South Korea. She's six and oh. Her record is actually 6-0-2. So she started her career with two draws, which who starts their career with two draws? So she had two draws, and then since then she really got on a roll. Her last six fights, she's won six in a row. Three by submission, one by KO, and only two went to distance. So I really think this is a great opportunity for her to kind of showcase her skills, but it's also a way that the UFC can get Holly back on track and get Holly back into the win column. Because if Holly was to lose this fight, that would be it for Holly. Holly would fall, I think, would fall way too far, and she would be completely out of all title pictures. You cannot lose four in a row and still keep parading her out as one of your top stars. So this is one of those situations where it's bring Holly back by giving her a winnable fight. And, you know, I do think that Holly is going to win this with ease. I think Holly will look spectacular. So I think it's a smart decision on the UFC's part.
And you think they've got very different fighting styles, right? So how do you think they would match up? You said you'd think Holly would win this with ease, but how do you think their styles then, how do you foresee that going in the ring?
Well, okay. I don't claim to be an expert on her, but I watched her on YouTube and I found a couple of fights of hers. And from what I saw, she's a tough, really tough fighter. But I think she's tailor-made for Holly. I think Holly would be. Holly has the range on her. She's 5'6", so Holly has the range. She has the movement. Holly is a very strong fighter as well. I think Holly's going to have too much range, too much skill, and just too much power. I think this will be an. I think she's perfect for Holly to get back on track. especially when you look at a person with, this is only her sixth fight, her first fight in the UFC, which is traditionally, you have the butterflies and everything when you come up to the UFC, and traditionally, fighters that come in, they don't normally do well their very first fight, so there, she has to deal with that. And then you're talking about Holly Holm, who I could actually say could be argued as the greatest female combat fighter in history when you look at her boxing history, multiple world championships, her kickboxing history, and then being able to become a UFC bantamweight champion when she shocked the world and defeated Ronda Rousey. So, I think it's a good move.
All right.
What's next?
One more, and that is about next month. UFC 210 will be in Buffalo, and a new fight has actually just been added to that, and that is Cynthia Calvillo versus Pearl Gonzalez. Now, it's interesting that Calvillo just fought in UFC 209, so that's a very short turnaround time. What do you think about this fight?
Calvillo, this woman, I had no clue who she was. And I watched her, and I watched her fight, and I was amazed. I truly was amazed at how impressive she is. We're actually based in Sacramento here, and Team Alpha Male is just, not that far from our studio. But I still didn't know who she was, and I tend to try to stay on top of a lot of the guys with Team Alpha Male. But this woman came in, and she was just spectacular in her fight. And she beat Amanda Cooper with ease. It was like she was experimenting on new wrestling holds while she was in the ring with Amanda Cooper. It was just, she put on a clinic for her first time ever being in the UFC. So I cannot wait to see her again. A 35 day turnaround for her from her first fight in the UFC to another late notice fight. Most people, I would say, bad decision. This tells me a couple of things about this fighter. First off, she's someone who stays pretty well in good shape constantly, because a lot of fighters, after an event, they pig out and their weight goes up. You can't have a big increase in weight and then turn around and fight in 35 days. So that shows me that she's a constant professional as far as her nutrition and her training is going. And so I'm looking forward to that. And then with Pearl Gonzalez, it took me, it took a lot to find a fight of hers. And it was with a Hoosier Fighting Championships is what I found her in, out of Indiana. I don't know how. I mean, I'd never even heard of Hoosier Fighting Championships, so I'm not a big expert on her, but I know that her record is, she's 6-1. I believe she lost her very first fight, and she's been, I guess she's a champion at the Hoosier Fighting Championship. I'm not a big expert. Like I said, I'm not a big expert on her. So I'm definitely taking Cynthia, but I'm looking forward to seeing, what kind of fight she puts together. So I think it's an opportunity to kind of showcase a person that has the potential to be a star. This is very early on for both of these ladies, but I'm definitely looking forward to seeing what happens here. So, any comments on that?
It'll be an interesting fight just to see. I mean, we don't know much about either of them in terms of the UFC, so just getting to watch them together and...
Well, there's not really much on either one of them when you look at... Pearl, who's been fighting kind of in a few obscure... promotions, and then Cynthia, who has only she's 4-0 and as an MMA record, so there's not a lot of material to really go by, but there's very few people come in the ring with their very first time being in the ring and was that comfortable. It looks like she was experimenting on Amanda Cooper. I can't wait to see her again.
Those are my questions. Those are my stories that I had for you today.
Okay, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about, the different weight classes in the women's and the UFC. We're going to talk about the UFC's women's weight classes when we come right back. Stay tuned.
This is your ultimate stop for everything sports. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Should I say more? From the NFL, MLB, the NBA, to MMA, it's all in here. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Listen now.
Okay, so we were just covering in the news, and Sarah had one more bonus in the news segment that she was going to bring up, and so I'm going to throw it over to Miss Sarah here.
So my bonus question for you today is about Liz Carmouche. And she is actually lobbying for a UFC women's flyweight division. So give us your thoughts on that. Tell us a little bit more about what that would mean, what weight class that is. You know, just for those people who might not know as much as you do. Or
I don't know if I about as much as I know. I don't know much. I guess I know a little bit there. Okay, I'm going to tell you this. Beginning of the year, when they announced the featherweight division, the women's featherweight division, I was absolutely ecstatic. I have been lobbying and saying this for a while that, you know, instead of coming out the new UFC ownership group with all these different interim titles and things like that, once again, the women keep stealing the show. The women are doing an amazing job. You look at that, you know, the strawweight division. You look at the bantamweight division. Those guys are stars. Amanda Nunes, Ronda Rousey, Misha Tate, Holly Holm, Joanna Jędrzejczyk, the Karate Hottie, you name it. These guys are putting up spectacular fights time after time and after time. I personally think the UFC did the right thing by coming up with a featherweight division, but I think they should go a step further. I think they should come up with a flyweight division, and I think they should come up with an atomweight division as well. There's enough great fighters out there. You could definitely fill the ranks with these guys, because when you think about, you know, right now, the bantamweight division, you got Amanda Nunes at the top. You got Sarah McMahon coming on. You got Juliana Pena. You got Valentino Shevchenko. You have all these guys who are just major stars. Then you look at the strawweight division with Joanna Jędrzejczyk. Claudia Gadelha, Carla Esparza, Karolina Kovačević. These are guys that have become major stars and put up amazing fights. And then you look at the featherweight division, you say Cyborg. And here's my question. When you look at these divisions, and this is the way I would kind of draw it out. When you look at the featherweight division, you look at what's coming up in the near future. You have Cyborg versus Jermaine Duranemi. You just had Holly Holm versus Jermaine Duranemi. Megan Anderson just won the featherweight interim title, so you have a Megan Anderson Cyborg fight that is going to be on the horizon. There are some great fighters that can fill those divisions, and there's a lot of guys, that can go from the bantamweight division easily to the featherweight division, just like what Amanda Nunes talked about wanting to go to the featherweight division to contend for the title there. Kat Zingano can be either be a bantamweight or a featherweight. So let's look at the flyweight division. There are a number of fighters who have openly spoken that they would love for the UFC to come up with a flyweight division. And one of the biggest proponents for the flyweight division is the strawweight champion, Joanna Jędrzejczyk. She has said numerous times that she wants that flyweight title. So when you look at that flyweight division and you say, you know, you look at who could be in the flyweight division, you got right now Amanda Nunes is scheduled to fight Valentina Shevchenko. Well, Valentina Shevchenko can be a bantamweight or a flyweight. Matter of fact, I think she fits in better as a flyweight because she's a small bantamweight, but she's a perfect size flyweight. Jennifer Maya, Liz Carmouche. Liz Carmouche is a person who, Liz's biggest issue with being in the bantamweight division and why she hasn't had more success is the fact that she's a smaller fighter. And everyone talks about, you know, her big fight with Ronda Rousey, where she's the only person until Holly actually, you know, broke her confidence. You know, when Ronda was at her peak, the only person that ever put any danger to Ronda was Liz Carmouche when she had her in that kind of that rear naked choke. Liz is a tough fighter. She's just fighting people that are too big for her own size. Liz can make 125, but going from 135 down to 115, that is a lot to cut. So it's very hard for a lot of fighters to make the distance between being able to fight and die and cut weight down to 115 if you're a natural 135 or you walk around at 145, 155. But there's certain fighters who I think would make that that 125 group, and that's, like I said, Joanna. I put her as my instant featherweight champion. Jennifer Maya, Liz Carmouche, Valentina Shevchenko would be my flyweight division. And if Joanna moved up to the flyweight division, that opens the doors for the, you know, Claudia Gadelha, the Carla Esparzas, the Karolina Kovačević's of the world to actually be able to contend for a title where you could get a lot of big name, you know, you can get a lot of headline fights there. The one that very few people are talking about, but I think would be another division where there's a ton of stars and Invicta and other places, where I think the atomweight division is where I think I would love to see them put in a title. The atomweight division at 105, you have people like Michelle Watterson, Jessica Penney, Alexa Grasso, Paige VanZant would be a good, I think would be someone that could contend for that atomweight division. You have unstoppable Angela Lee, who is the ONE FC champion or ONE championship champion. You have the Invicta champion, Hamasaki. She's there. Jen Yu, Julia Jones. There's a lot of really great atomweights that you could bring in there. And it would solve the problem where the UFC, and instead of creating all these interim titles, now you have an atomweight, a strawweight, a flyweight, a bantamweight, and a featherweight division. And I'd throw the men in there too. I'd put in a cruiserweight division for the men, because that jump from light heavyweight to heavyweight, there's a big gap there. I think there should be a cruiserweight division for the men as well. So that is my take on my thoughts about Liz Carmouche lobbying for a women's flyweight division. I just took it that next step further. I think there should be 5 women's divisions that should be there, and I think a person like Liz Carmouche would really benefit and actually become a serious title contender in that flyweight division.
I agree. I really enjoy watching the women fight, and so having more, you know, having more of these weight classes just means more women's fights, and you get really great matchups if you have more fights. So
they steal the like I keep saying, they steal the show every single time.
They do, and we'd be able to see more fights from these athletes that we don't always get to see so much of because they aren't featured as much because there aren't there's not the opportunity. So,
let's talk like Michelle Waterson, out of nowhere for most MMA people, Michelle Waterson came out of nowhere. But Michelle Waterson's been around forever. Not forever, but she's been a top fighter in Invicta and has been contending for a title and been a champion for a long time. I think, you know, guys like that, they should have been brought over a long time ago. But Michelle Waterson was an atom weight. So there was no place for Michelle Waterson. Michelle Waterson is having to fight at a weight that's not even natural for her. I think Michelle Waterson at her best is an atom weight.
Is
there any other comments or anything else that's in the news that you want to cover?
I'm trying to think. I think we covered everything. Well, you shouldn't trust me because I already missed one and we had to go back and recover it. But
hey, it's our first time on here. So,
it's my first time.
Yeah, you get a pass.
I'm new to this whole MMA thing. I've grown to enjoy it. I can thank you for that because it wasn't until I met you that I started watching MMA and getting to know the fighters. And women's MMA is really what got me interested in it. So not that I dislike the men because I do have my favorite male fighters and I do enjoy watching the men fight. But I really, really enjoy watching the women fight and getting to know them and their personalities. And, you know, so thanks for having me on.
Excellent. It was a pleasure. This is going to conclude our show for today. Hopefully everyone enjoyed our very first episode of the Golden State Media Concepts Women's Mixed Martial Arts Podcast. On our next episode, we're going to be covering, which will be on Thursday, is dedicated strictly to the Invicta card that is coming up this weekend. So we'll be covering that. So keep an eye out for us. That should be Thursday. Thank you for tuning in, and to all, a very good night.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Women's Mixed Martial Arts Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.